Okay, tonight we're going to be starting in on be strong in the Lord. If you want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start looking at this passage in Ephesians 6 on the armor of the Lord, but this is going to be kind of an introduction in this passage, and we're going to start looking at each piece of armor that Paul mentions in this passage. But tonight we're going to be talking about being strong in the Lord. I want to begin reading verse number 10. And we'll just go ahead and read through verse 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to study this very important topic of spiritual warfare. And Father, I pray that you would help us as your children to recognize that we're always in a spiritual battle. There's always a battle going on in the spiritual realm around us. And Father, that you would help us to be prepared, Lord, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And Father, we are thankful tonight that you have already provided us all the equipment that we need to have victory over our enemy, Satan. You have already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, I know that we have to appropriate these truths. We have to apply these things in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would just guide and lead and this message tonight, and Lord, that you would help us to see how important it is for us to be strong in the Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm not sure that we all recognize it, but we are always in a spiritual warfare. There's always a warfare going on around us. And I want to remind you that as people of God, we are a target of Satan, who is our archenemy. The last four messages, we were looking at knowing our enemy. We were looking at some titles in the Word of God for Satan. And he controls the darkness of this world. And there's principalities and powers, as we read here, rulers of darkness in this world his demonic forces, those fallen angels that have followed him, they are doing everything that they can to undermine the work of God. They are doing everything they can to defeat and discourage the people of God. They are doing everything they can to hinder our church from accomplishing our mission of getting the gospel out to all the world. That is what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep us from our mission, to get us to fail in our mission to live for God and to bring Him glory. These enemies that we face are very powerful. Very powerful enemies. And these battles that we fight are real. They're real battles. And the cost of defeat is really much higher than we realize. It's much higher than we realize. You know, there's really just a... we can either stand or we can fall. And you know, when a Christian falls, that the consequences are far greater than we realize sometimes. The glories of victory are far more wonderful than we can imagine. You know, this passage tells us how to avoid failure, how to achieve success in the spiritual battles of life. But I'm afraid that a lot of Christians are living defeated lives because they're not seriously engaged in warfare. You know, I was reading a story today. I didn't happen to write it down, but I'll try to remember the best I can. But this story about a Marine that fought in World War II in the South Pacific. And they had gone up on to the beach there in one of their vehicles. It was kind of like an amphibious tank. And they took a couple of hits as they were coming to land. And so their vehicle was disarmed. I mean it was no longer, it was disabled. That's the word I'm looking for, is disabled. And so they all had to get out of this vehicle and go up the beach, storm the beach. And so as they were all going from hole to hole and getting up on the beach, finally when they got into a secure position, the sergeant, he began to check his crew or his men and see if they were okay. And he hollered out to the soldier next to him and he said, are you okay? He said, I'm fine, Sarge. And then he looked at him and said, where's your helmet? And he put his hand on his head and he said, I guess I left it in the tank back there. And then he said, where's your belt? They had a duty belt where they put their ammunition and stuff. I guess I left it back there in the tank. And then with just the sergeant was just getting upset and said, where's your rifle? I mean, this guy had left everything in the tank. There he was, without a helmet, without his belt, without his rifle. And you know, I'm afraid that's how a lot of Christians are. We're not prepared. We're not prepared to face the enemy that's out there, the enemy that's around us, this enemy that we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. A lot of Christians are not prepared, but here in this passage, he tells us how important it is for us to be prepared. We've talked about knowing our enemy. Well, tonight, we're going to be seeing that also we need to know our weakness. We must know our weakness. You know, we are weak creatures. We really are. Within ourselves, we are weak emotionally, physically, spiritually. We're weak when it comes to temptation and sin. We're weak in our ability to face the spiritual enemy. We really are. And, you know, we need God's power. We need God's power to overcome this enemy. That is a fact. We need to realize that we must have God's power to overcome this enemy. Without it, we're no match for the devil. In this passage, I want to point out, as we get started tonight, before we look at these 3 points tonight, I want to point out there are 4 verbs that are imperatives. And by imperative, that means command. Some of you have been out of English for a long, long, long time, but an imperative is a command. And so there's 4 of them in this passage, and I want to point them out. 2 of them are very similar, so out of these 4, we're going to get 3 points tonight. The first imperative verb is in verse 10, be strong. Be strong. And the second imperative is put on in verse 11. Put on. This is an imperative. That means that Paul is giving a command for us to be strong, to put on. The third imperative is in verse 13, take unto you. This is an imperative, a command. Take unto you the whole armor of God. The last 4th imperative in this passage is verse 14, stand. Stand is a command. Stand. I'm sure some of you soldiers, you know, when your sergeant says to stand attention, I mean, you better do it. That's a command. Well, that's what this is here, is a command. And so we're going to look at these three things tonight. And the first one is be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. This imperative verb, I looked it up, and it's in the passive mode. You know what that means? You know what passive means? It means to be acted. The verb's being acted upon. And so, or the subject, I'm sorry, being acted upon. And so what we see here is that this strength is not in and of ourselves. Being strong, it being in the passive means that our strength comes from the Lord. It's not from within ourselves. It's strength that comes from outside of us. It comes from the Lord. You know, and if you look at this book of Ephesians, you go back to chapter 1 and verse 19, I want you to notice what Paul was writing about. He wrote about this strength and power that we have in the Lord in chapter 1, verse 19. And I want you to know that this is part of a prayer. Paul was praying for these Christians that their eyes would be opened up, that they would recognize some truth. And what did he want them to see? He said here, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places." And so Paul said, I'm praying that these believers here at the church in Ephesus, he was praying for them that their eyes would be enlightened, that they would see what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us. You know what that means? A lot of Christians don't realize the power available to them. They just don't realize it. That they have this great power available God has given us. They just don't avail themselves of this power. They are relying on their own power. And then in chapter 3, in verse 16, we have another prayer that he was praying. Ephesians 3, in verse 16, he is praying here that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So here he's praying that the first prayer is that they would see what power is available. The second prayer he's praying that they would be strengthened with might by His Spirit. So he's praying that they would be strong in the Lord. That they'd have the Lord's might would strengthen them in their inner man. You know, remember the story in the Old Testament. Remember David, before he became the king, he was fleeing from Saul. Saul wanted to kill David, and he had gone off into the area of the Philistines. And he was pretending that, you know, that he was on their side. And then one of the kings of the Philistines gave him a city called Ziklag. And so he went there, and they had several cities there that David and his mighty men, where they lived with their families. Well, they were going to go to war against Saul. And as they were going to war, the Philistine lords began to think, wait a minute, what if David turns on us? What if David wants to get right with his king, King Saul, and he turns against us and fights against us? So they sent David home. So David goes back home with his soldiers. And when they get back to Ziklag, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, they came back, and guess what? The city was burned. All of their wives and children were taken captive. And it says they were weeping until they could weep no more. They were crying and they were heartbroken. And in fact, it says David, you know, being their leader, he was so distressed. And it said that they were speaking of stoning David. You know, the enemy was fighting in another way. I mean, trying to destroy David. David was the one, God had already chosen him as the next king. God was preparing him, but here the enemy was trying to prevent that from happening. But if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I want to read that verse in verse 6. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." But notice the last phrase, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You know what that word "encouraged" means? It means he strengthened himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I mean, David was to the point of almost just giving up. He was almost defeated. But it says he strengthened, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, he was at a very low point at this time. But through the Lord, he was able to overcome this attack of the enemy. And listen, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in the lowest point in your life, you can be discouraged. It may seem right now God's promises are not true for you. But no matter how much it may seem that things are against you, you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This strength is available to us. We can strengthen ourselves like David did in the Lord our God. So the question is, how? How can we strengthen ourselves? How? How can we be strong in the Lord? Well, first point here under this, you must be in the Lord. If you're going to be strengthened in the Lord, if you're going to be strong in the Lord, first of all, you must be in the Lord. You must be in the Lord. And what that means is you must have a relationship with Him. You must be saved. I mean, if you're a lost person and you're separated from God, how can you know His strength? How can you have His strength? And you know, Paul in Ephesians talks about this. And you'll go back in chapter 1 and you look in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Look at verse 6. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made us accepted in the Beloved." You know, when we come to Christ, when we come to trust Him as our Lord and Savior, we are born again. We go from darkness to light. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and we are in Christ. You know, when we're born in this world, we're in Adam. We are descendants of Adam. We have this sin nature. We live in a sinful world. But you know, when we get saved, we're in Christ. And it says we are accepted in the Beloved, who is Christ. He is our acceptance before God is only through Christ, through what we have in Christ, the salvation we have in Christ. You know, I like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where He tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There it is right there. If you want to be saved, it's by grace. It's not by your works. It's not by what you can do. It's by God's grace alone and through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what He's done on the cross for us. And so it's by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. So first of all, we must be in the Lord. If you want to know the power of the Lord, if you want to be strong in the Lord, be in Him. Be in Him. Be saved. Now, second, you must know your own weakness. If you're going to be strong in the Lord, you need to know your own weakness. This is an important point. And a lot of times Christians, we can think we're strong because we've been a Christian for many years. We can think we're strong because we've been in the ministry many years. We can think we're strong because we have a knowledge of the Word of God. But listen, pride blinds us. You know what? Really, a mature Christian knows his weakness. A mature Christian will know that he has a tendency to sin. He has a tendency to fall. A mature Christian will know that. And if you are lifted up in pride, say, well, you know, I'm strong, you know, because I've been saved 25, 30 years. I've been in church all these years, and I know this much of the Bible. And listen, you're about to fall. Pride comes before the fall. And you know, David, just think of David. We talked about David there encouraging himself in the Lord. Think about David. He was a man after God's own heart. And David, he walked with God. You read some of the Psalms that David wrote. I mean, here's a man that loved God, but yet later in his life, what happened? He fell, didn't he? He committed adultery. He committed murder. You know, while the kings were going out to battle, he was staying home. He stopped fighting the wars. He let his guard down. And probably he was relying on, you know, his past experience. He was a mighty warrior of God. He was a strong man of faith. I mean, he's the one that killed Goliath. I mean, think of this man. He was a strong man of faith. And I don't think I could ever compare myself to him. I mean, he is way out there beyond me in his faith in the Lord. But yet he fell. If we don't stop realizing our weakness, we're not going to get victory over Satan. We better stop and realize we can easily fall. We can easily fall. You know, in John 15, remember Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. And there in John 15, in verse number 5, I believe it was, he said, and without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You know, we can do nothing without Him. You know, I think of Paul. You know, Paul had received a lot of visions from the Lord. God used him in mighty way, but God allowed Satan, a messenger of Satan, to afflict him with a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed about it 3 times, and the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. But you know, you read that passage in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and Paul said that he had learned in weakness to be strong. I mean, it was through weakness that he found strength. Why? Because he humbled himself. Because, you know, God wanted to keep Paul from getting popped up and lifted up with pride. So Paul used a thorn in the flesh. He used this messenger of Satan to come and attack Paul to keep him humble. And because of that, Paul learned in weakness to find strength. He found strength in the Lord. And so we must know our own weakness if we're going to be strong in the Lord. But third, you must know the Lord's strength. You must know the Lord's strength. You know, Satan is a powerful enemy. But remember this, he's only a created being. He's not the Creator. He's not the Almighty. You know, God is greater than he. You know, I like the verse we talked about last week, 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're a born-again child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. So we have strength in the Lord. And you know, over and over in the Scripture, God is always reminding his people of his strength. Reminding his people, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know, you think about those verses. I don't have time to go there, but Genesis 18:14, you can write that down. Jeremiah 32:17. Those are verses where the Lord says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? He wants to remind people of his strength. Remember with Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. With God, nothing is impossible. She conceived a child of the Holy Ghost. I mean, with God, nothing's impossible. So we need to be aware of the Lord's strength. Just like Paul prayed here in this letter, he prayed that our eyes would be open to see the strength, that's the power of the Lord that's available to us, and that we'd be strengthened in Him. You know, I think of Paul, he said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. But he didn't stop there. He said, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to learn that. We need to be reminded of the Lord's strength. And, And so if you want to be strong in the Lord, you need to be in the Lord. Number two, you need to know your own weakness. And number three, you need to know the Lord's strength. Know that He is greater than your enemy. That there's nothing impossible for Him. Now let's move to this second main point, and that is put on the whole armor of God. Now, before we look at this second imperative here, I want you to see the progression here in Ephesians. Go back in Ephesians 6. I want you to look in verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, let me just say now, how? You know, we talk about those three things, but in the text, ask the question, how? He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How? Put on. Put on the armor of God. Put it on. I mean, God has provided us the equipment. So you want to be strong? Put on His armor. The armor that He provides us. You know, and this is interesting. The imperative verb here is in the middle voice. You know, God makes no mistake in the Bible. When, you know, the first imperative is passive, meaning that it's outside of us. I mean, God is God's strength. This is middle voice. That means we have to take the initiative. Put on the armor of God. I mean, it's up to us. Just like that soldier ran out of that tank, you know, running up on land and being shot at, and didn't even have his helmet, didn't have his ammunition belt, didn't have his rifle. I mean, we as Christians, we can go out to this world and face the enemy and not be prepared. Not put on the whole armor of God. And I don't think the emphasis here is memorizing and each piece of armor and praying it on. I think what it is we have to realize that each piece of armor in some way represents Christ. It represents Christ. And, for example, we're going to be looking at these each individually later, but for example, let's look in verse 14. Have your loins girt about with truth. Truth. Who is truth? What is truth? I mean, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. The devil's what? He's a liar. But Jesus is the truth. You know, and we find that the breastplate of righteousness there. Christ is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We see here the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Christ is our peace. You know, taking the shield of faith. Well, Jesus, the Bible says, is the author and finisher of our faith. Take the helmet of salvation. Well, He is our salvation. His name, Jesus, means the Lord is our salvation. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the living Word of God. So in a sense, all these speak of Christ. Now, I want to share something here. Let me pull this up. There's both an objective and subjective side to the armor of God. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. An objective and subjective. The objective truth I just gave you. You know, this armor speaks of Christ. For example, truth. Christ is the truth. You know, even we could even say the Bible is truth because, you know, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." This is truth. That's objective truth right here. But what's the subjective truth? Subjective truth means you live truth. You live the truth. You speak the truth. You walk in truth. You know, here in Ephesians 4:25, he says that we should stop lying and speak the truth every man. You know, I'm just paraphrasing that. Verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." That's subjective. That's putting it into practice. So here, putting on the armor is this. You put on the armor how? You appropriate what you have in Christ. You know, our theme this year, live like Jesus. That's the subjective of this armor. Live like Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Live in truth. Jesus is our righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Live in live righteously. Jesus, He is our peace. The Bible says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith. We have peace with God. Well, the subjective side of that is what? Commit everything to the Lord in prayer, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the subjective part. Put it into practice. Have the peace of God in your life. Commit all your burdens to the Lord. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, the verse I'm referring to. What about here, salvation? You know, objectively, Christ is our salvation. But you know, subjectively, we have to cry out to Him for deliverance. We have to rely on Him, trust in Him for deliverance. Not just from our sins, but from our enemy. When we get in a tangle of deception by the enemy or temptation, whatever it is, you know, how do we have salvation? Get on our knees and pray and look to the Lord. And He's our Savior. He's the one that can deliver us. He's our refuge. And so that's the subjective side of the armor of God. What about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Well, He is the Word made flesh. He is the Word. The Bible, this is the Word. This is the objective truth right here. But you know what the subjective side is? Hide it in your heart. Memorize it. Study it. Pray over it. Pray Scripture. Because how are you going to, when these lies of the devil come, we talked about our enemy being a serpent, and his target is our mind, and his weapon is lies. How are we going to face, how are we going to fight against that? By truth. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, we have to know it. We have to be able to apply it to every situation. You know, if we as Christians, we don't spend time in the Word of God, what good is it going to do us? You know, some people have this, maybe not so much among Americans, so much as in third world countries. I know in Ghana, sometimes people, they would look at a Bible as being something this magical about this book, that if you had this book on the dash of your car, you're not going to have a wreck. It's kind of like some of the Catholics that put the Virgin Mary, they hang it in there, they put the picture on the window, and they think by having that, somehow that's going to protect them. Listen, if you want to get victory over the enemy, you've got to get in the book. And you've got to apply the book to your life. And so, that's what I want you to see. There's a objective and subjective truth here. And so, this putting on the whole armor, it's whenever you realize who you are in Christ and live consistently with what you are in Christ. Put on Christ. Romans 13:14 says, put on Christ. And so we have to live like Jesus. Live like Jesus. If you want to put on armor, live like Jesus. And, you know, that's how we can defeat Satan's attacks against us. You know, I like talked about the shield of faith, you know, the subjective side there. You know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that began a good work in us. You know, I don't know how to explain it. I was a lost, rebellious sinner. I did not want to come to church. I came to church because I had to. I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church by my parents. But, you know, somehow God got a hold of my heart. It wasn't me just deciding one day, well, I want to serve God. I want to get saved. It wasn't that. God began doing something in me. And it really, you know, I mean, sometimes it may not really be that a certain message or anything. It's just God working. And, you know, when I was at camp in 1980, I never forget. I was just under conviction the whole week. I was just, God did that. God was working. God began that work of faith in me. I looked to Him in faith. I was saved. And you know what? Since then, I mean, I have fallen many times. I had gotten out of the will of God many times. I drifted many times in my Christian life. But you know what? He is the author of my faith. And you know what? Not only the author, the finisher. I'm glad. He's going to finish what He started in me. And you know what? But He wants us to walk by faith. You know, if I'm not walking by faith, listen, I'm not going to have victory. I'm not going to get victory against my enemy, Satan. And so all of these, we're going to be looking at these individually. I'm just giving you a foreview. I want you to see what it means to put on the armor of God. Put on Christ. Appropriate these truths in your life. Live them. Live like Jesus. Let's look at this last one. Stand up. Or stand against the enemy. Stand against the enemy. This is that last imperative given here. Now again, I want you to see the progression, what Paul's saying. First he says, be strong in the Lord. That's his first thing. How? Put on the armor. Put it on. And he says, take unto you, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. So that's how we do it. That's how we are to get strong in the Lord. Now, why? Why do we need to put on the armor? Why do we need to take unto us the whole armor? Why? Well, look what he says here. Look in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now look in verse 13. Wherefore, because he talks about the enemies in verse 12. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. So you see the progression. He's saying be strong. How do you be strong? By putting on the armor of God. Why do you put on the armor of God? So you can stand. So you can withstand. Withstand means resist. James 4, he tells us in verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil. That's what the Bible tells us. And that's what it's talking about here. When we put the whole armor of God on us, he said, we'll be able to stand against him and withstand in the evil day. That means to resist him. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about. So the only way we can stand is if we put on armor. If you don't put it on, you're not going to be able to stand. The idea of stand means to hold your ground, not giving in an inch. Resist. Say to Satan, I will not yield to your temptation. I will not listen to your lies. I will not budge. I'm standing. You know, I want to give you an illustration. Look in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 23, verses 11 and 12. This talks about some of David's mighty men. 2 Samuel 11 and 12. We're going to hurry up here and finish. Chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. It's talking about David's mighty men. And here, let's read. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. You know, in this day and time, the Philistines, they were a strong army. They came in, and the Israelites, they worked so hard to plant They would plant, and then when it came time to harvest, guess what? The Philistines had come to take their harvest, take all their food. And at that time, the Israelites, because of their spiritual condition, they were running. When the enemy came, guess what? They ran. And in day when people were running, and just like today, a lot of Christians are running, there's one man that stood. He said, I am not going to give an inch. I'm going to stand here and defend this bean patch. You know, you may think a bean patch is something small, but you know what? When the enemy gets something little, he's going to take something else. He's going to keep getting more and more. Listen, the devil, he wants you. He wants your children. He wants your families. He wants your church. He wants everything that God has given you. He wants to take it from you. And we have to stand and resist. We have to stand and say, I'm not going to let the devil take my kids. I'm not going to let the devil destroy my church. I'm not going to let the devil destroy my life. I'm not going to let him take these things from me. I'm not going to let him take my testimony. I'm not going to let him take the precious doctrines of this church. I'm going to stand. You know, God has equipped us. He has equipped us for the battles that we face. He's given us everything to stand against the enemy and to enjoy His victory. He's given it to us right here. We read it in the Scripture. And it's up to us to put on the armor. It's up to us to be strong in the Lord. It's up to us to stand against the enemy, to make sure every piece is in place. You know, I read a story that back in the way back there, I can't remember, probably in the 12th century or so, when they fought with swords and armor. And I can't remember the name of this guy, but he saw that the guy he was facing, the enemy that he was facing, did not have his leg armor on. And so he took his off. And he went in this match against this enemy, and guess what? He got injured in his leg and he died. He left out that piece of armor. You know what? Just one piece we leave out. He said, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. So that's our responsibility. Remember, it's middle voice, meaning you're responsible to put it on. You're responsible. You know, if we don't obey this command and wear the armor God has provided, we have no one to blame but ourselves when we fall. You know, these are commands. These are for soldiers. When you got saved, you became a soldier. When you got born again, you enlisted. You're in the Lord's army. You're in a spiritual battle. And now these are commands. Be strong. Put on the whole armor. Stand. Well, tonight we're going to stand. And we're going to close in prayer.